Breaking news from WRAL. Coverage you can count on.
And we want to get right to that. Breaking news in Raleigh tonight. Police responding to NC State University campus. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. We are still working to find out what's behind the investigation. Mark Boyle is in the WRAL Live Center with a look at the scene. What we know so far, Mark?
Ashley, this is a large scene. These are the first live pictures we're getting into the Live Center right now here at 7 o'clock. This is happening, and we can take this full for you on the screen, at the Sullivan Residence Hall there. This is not far from Hillsborough, right in the central campus. There are several police officers there with the yellow tape surrounding that residence hall. They're speaking with witnesses, trying to piece together exactly what happened here. We are close to confirming what happened on campus, but we are waiting for official confirmation from NC State Police. We expect that soon, within the next few minutes or so. But police have not yet confirmed exactly to us why they're there, but they have several crews out there investigating this. So if you are out at the dorms, you have students there this evening, they are going to be out there for quite some time. So stand by for updates in the Live Center. We certainly will send a push notification on this as soon as we have confirmation about that police activity at NC State. Back to you.
Okay, Mark, thank you. Right now, there is an investigation underway into a drowning on Jordan Lake. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office tells us a 13-year-old boy died yesterday afternoon. WRAL's Willie Danley joins us live from Jordan Lake. Willie, what do we know so far about what happened here?
Well, Ashley, we're still working to figure out the circumstances that led to that 13-year-old boy drowning. But the Chatham County Sheriff's Office is encouraging everyone to play it safe out here on the water. In a statement, the Chatham County Sheriff says in part that this unfortunate incident serves as a poignant reminder that water safety should always be a top priority, especially when waterways are bustling with activity on a weekend like Labor Day weekend. The Sheriff's Office is encouraging anyone who comes out to the lake to follow a few safety tips, including having a designated adult that watches the children, staying within those swimming areas, and avoiding any alcohol or drugs while participating in activities out here on the water. I spoke to a young lady who came to the lake today. She says she's been coming here her entire life, and hearing the news about that 13-year-old boy made her and her friends proceed with caution.
I've been coming here ever since I was a kid. It's a little sad to hear because back in the day, it wasn't really like that. We played safer, we had more fun. So now that we're all coming up here as when we're older, it's a little bit harder to hear. But I mean, we're still having fun. We're just watching out for each other, watching each other's backs, making sure everybody's okay. Everybody can swim and being safe about who's going out in the water.
We're still working to figure out more information about how that 13-year-old boy drowned. We're going to continue to follow this story and keep you updated. Back to you, Ashley.
We are so sorry for that little boy's family. Willie Danley reporting live from Jordan Lake. Thank you.
This week, NCDOT will reopen Hillsborough Street near the fairgrounds to both east and west traffic. This will allow drivers to make that turn onto Hillsborough from Blue Ridge Road. As WRL's Destiny Patterson reports, drivers are glad to save a little time during their commute and ahead of some big events.
For months, this stretch of Hillsborough Street has been blocked off, but pretty soon it will reopen and these signs will be moved. It's part of a larger project to make this area safer.
These cones and signs have been here for months, causing a headache for some drivers.
We've had to go around so many times. I feel like we always have to reroute and go around.
She says the road closure adds time to her commute, and she's ready to get her time back.
And it would help if I could remember that it was closed.
Once this road reopens, drivers can go straight across the bridge and continue on Hillsborough Street towards Cary.
It'll save a lot of time.
And hopefully alleviate traffic.
And the fair's coming, so that needs to be open for the fair.
The goal has been to get that Hillsborough portion open ahead of the first NC State home football game.
This closure is a piece of a much larger construction project. When it's finished, Blue Ridge Road will pass beneath Hillsborough Street, the railroad tracks, and Burrell Road. A new street will connect Hillsborough Street and Blue Ridge Road.
It gives pedestrians and cars a new way to go under the railroad.
NCDOT says the changes will make it easier and safer for both pedestrians and drivers.
This stretch is expected to reopen on September 6th, assuming that there are no interferences with weather. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Taking a live look now over Fayetteville, you know, super hot across our area today. The record for this month is around 97 degrees. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. Kat, we have a shot at breaking that record come tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We have 3 days in a row with 99 as the high. Today was our first of the three. We had 99 at RDU, 96 degrees in Fayetteville. We're forecasting 99 tomorrow, which would break the previous record of 97 set back in 1954. I don't think that we're going to get to the record, though, on Wednesday, which is 104. We're forecasting 99, though, for the third day in a row. So it's going to be awfully hot for the next couple of days. Even tomorrow morning by 8 a.m., it's already almost 75 degrees. By noon, 92. Upper 90s throughout the afternoon hours. We're closely tracking a cold front, though, that should bring some relief. I'll show you when that shows up coming up.
Thanks, Kat.
Crime among young people in our state has risen significantly over the past few years. Young people, basically anybody 17 years old and younger. State data shows the number of criminal complaints against juveniles rose 23% between 2021 and 2022. Now, local leaders are looking for ways to stop that. One idea that keeps coming up in our area, curfews. Fayetteville City Council will discuss the idea at a work session tomorrow. Anyone under the age of 18 would be banned from public places from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. on weekends, midnight to 5 a.m. on weekdays. The city says the rule would, quote, protect juveniles from victimization and exposure to criminal activity, as well as, quote, reinforce and promote the parents in raising and guiding children. Now, Nashville, North Carolina has already been doing this. They approved a curfew on teenagers last month, saying they had a problem there with vandalism. Here's Police Chief J.T. Winston.
The curfew is supposed to be for our abundance of juveniles that walk up down the streets and do things. Now, there's really, we have our hands tied of what we can and cannot do with them.
The logic behind curfews makes a lot of sense. You keep kids off the streets at night, and then they won't be committing crimes or won't become the victim of a crime. But do they actually work, curfews? There's a lot of research that says probably not. Let's go in depth. So the idea of curfews really ramped up back in the 90s. President Clinton was a big fan. He often pushed more cities and towns to impose these rules. And then you fast forward 25 years, and more than 400 American cities have curfews in place. Now, in that time period, researchers dug into whether those rules were actually working. A 2016 analysis pulled together 12 different studies, concluded the pattern of evidence suggests that juvenile curfews are ineffective at reducing crime and victimization. A study that looked at a curfew specifically in Washington, D.C., found instances of gunfire increased after the rule was put in place. Another group found juvenile crime dropped and victimization dropped 12% in Austin, Texas, but that was after the city got rid of its curfew. But why do these rules appear, why don't they appear to work? Researchers have some theories. First, a lot of youth crime, especially violent crime, happen after school and way before curfew would be in place. There's a graph from the DOJ that shows most violent crime among kids happens between noon and 5 p.m. Then there's another theory. It's a lack of resources. There's a study that found it is rare for curfew ordinances to be associated with an increase in law enforcement resources, reducing the likelihood of effective enforcement. So again, why do this if these studies say curfews don't work? Let's bring back Police Chief Winstead from Nashville.
This curfew would allow us to take them home, make their parents in charge of them, and if the parents didn't choose to do that, then there would be fines and penalties that the town we could put on the parents to have them be responsible parents and not just let their children wander away. We've had an uptick in it since about the first of the year, and it's just getting worse, and with the summertime, they still haven't gone back in the house yet, so I think this is a first
and without
step forward.
Something like this, there's nothing you can do, really,
yes,
not
ma'am.
Even hardly stop.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Nothing they can do. Tell me what you think about this. Email me at dan@wrl.com. Tell me your thoughts on this story or any other. Tell me what's on your mind and we will go in depth.
Oh, you know, a lot of parents are going to have opinions about that one, Dan. Layoffs, low unemployment, and union disputes across industries. How do these things all fit together? Just ahead, an expert joins us to break down the present and future of the labor market on Labor Day. Plus, a sizzling summer could lead to a freakishly hot fall. WRAL's climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin shows you what could be in store for the months ahead. Union negotiations, actors on strike, and hundreds of thousands of jobs flowing into the economy every month. What better time to talk about the labor market than Labor Day? But seriously, there's a lot going on in the job market right now. So here to break down some of the headlines is retired NC State economics professor and economist, Dr. Mike Walden. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Ashley.
Let's start with this. Labor unions are fighting for better pay and benefits in several sectors of the economy. You know, we've got the Hollywood writers and actors being on strike for weeks, UPS workers practicing strikes before reaching a deal last month. So what do you say about these disputes as far as what they can tell us about the labor market right now and then what could be ahead?
I think mainly they tell us the labor market has been pretty good. If you're going to go on strike, you want to go on strike when there's the labor market is tight, where there's a lot of alternatives, that is, people can't be brought in to do your job because there's a low unemployment rate, and that the businesses, the economy overall is doing fairly well. So businesses will be losing business if they can't be working. So I don't think these strikes and potential strikes coming down the road are going to be enough to change the needle on the economy. I think it's a reflection, actually, some good things going on in the economy.
Fascinating. Okay, let's talk some numbers. The State Commerce Department released unemployment data for July, 3.3%. You can see that's low for any time in the last 20 years, typically around 4 or 5%. Now, that's for the state. Nationally, unemployment is at 3.8%. But there are some rumblings about a possible recession. So what's the sense that you get from all of this?
Well, I've been a professional economist for 45 years, and I've never seen an economy like this, like we're having. A lot of this is due to COVID. You have to remember the federal government under two different administrations pumped in $5.5 trillion to consumers' pockets. At the same time, we had a supply chain problem. That was really what prompted the big jump in inflation. The Federal Reserve has jumped in over the last 18 months to try to put the brakes on the economy, which is what they typically do to try to lower inflation. They've been successful. We're down to around 3.5% year over year. But at the same time, that means some sectors are having problems. For example, home building and home buying with high mortgage rates. That's affected that market. And that has stoked the fears that we typically have at this when the Federal Reserve employs this stop the economy movement, that we may run into a recession. At this point, I think if we do have a recession, it'll be very, very, very mild. One reason being that employers are very reluctant to lay people off, which typically happens during a recession because they work so hard to get people because we have the labor shortages. And you're looking ahead, we're going to have labor shortages, I think, continue. So if we do have a recession, I think it'll be a very, very unusual recession in the sense that unemployment may go up to 5%. That's very, very low. I think it'll be a very mild recession, but I'm in the camp right now. If you had to ask me right now to put my finger on one of the possibilities, I think we're probably going to avoid a bona fide recession. We're just going to have a slower economy.
Well, that's music to my ears. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday.
Thank you, Angela.
This summer's scorching heat has felt like a broken record sometimes. That has broken records several times. June and July were the hottest ever recorded on Earth, and the heat index surpassed 113 degrees at RDU in August, the hottest day of the year. As WRL's climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin shows us, fall is getting hotter too.
Heat is a growing health concern for North Carolinians of all ages, including kids, as warming trends stretch risks across longer periods of time.
The fall season is warmer than it used to be across the U.S. In the Raleigh-Durham area, fall is more than 2.5 degrees hotter than it was in 1970, according to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, with 11 more hotter than normal days than there were 5 decades ago. Warmer fall temperatures prolong risks of heat-related illness, on the rise in recent months.
Because we know that heat can be a real health risk, we have been working really hard to get out messages and alerts so people are aware of the heat when it's coming and can plan ahead and can protect their health.
I recently spoke with state epidemiologist Virginia Guidry about an environmental health data dashboard the state has been beefing up, as climate risks pose greater threats to North Carolinians.
We do put the emergency department visits for heat-related illness on the dashboard.
With a median temperature of 99 degrees at RDU the week of August 20th, there were more than twice as many emergency room visits for heat-related illness than the average during the same period of time over the past 4 years. 45 of those visits were children under 18, more than the number of seniors needing emergency care due to the heat. According to a new federal dashboard, over the past 2 weeks, every county in and around the Triangle had a higher rate of 911 calls for heat-related reasons than the national average.
With more hot days likely on the horizon, officials are reminding residents to stay informed. So look at the day's forecast. Stay cool, inside with AC if possible, and stay hydrated, drinking plenty of fluids. In Raleigh, I'm Liz McLaughlin, WREL News.
It's good advice, and we should help you out getting informed. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here to do that for us right now. We do have some hot days ahead.
Yes, we do. We've got a stretch of upper 90s on the way. You know, the normal high this time of year is 86. So we're talking temperatures running 10 to even 15 degrees above normal this week. But a moment of calm. Check out the sunset in Beaufort this evening. You can see the boats driving by. It has been an absolutely beautiful Labor Day weekend. We've been dry from mountains to coast. Now we're going to be dealing with the heat. We're in the upper 90s both tomorrow and Wednesday. 96 degrees on Thursday, so still running about 10 degrees above normal Thursday. 93 on Friday, 90s all week long until we get to the weekend. And that's when we begin to see some changes. 88 on Saturday, and that's a sign of a cold front on the way. It's not going to be cold, but not quite so hot behind the front. High pressure will move out by the time we get to the end of the week. We'll see a cold front similar to this one move in as we head into Friday. That's when it reaches North Carolina. Scattered storms are possible on Friday. The issue is, as what we see often this time of year, is this front is likely to get stuck over North Carolina, and that may mean some additional scattered storm chances into the weekend. The heat should back off slightly, though, with the front moving through. We'll see more clouds, more rain. It's not necessarily going to be a big drop in humidity with this front, though. If you do need to get some yard work done, the dry days to do it are tomorrow and Wednesday, and for the most part Thursday, just a 20% chance for rain. The issue is you're going to be dealing with the heat, so just try to get your yard work done early in the morning or late in the evening. If you've got to be outside working in this weather, please make sure that you're staying hydrated and take lots of breaks in the shade. And by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, that's when you may run into some rain or have to plan around the rain if you are planning on doing some of the yard work. For the kids headed back to school tomorrow at the bus stop in the morning, it's already going to be in the mid-70s. Moms and dads, you may want to send them with an extra bottle of water to school. They may need it at recess if they're going to be outside. It's going to be hot with temperatures in the 90s by that time. As they are heading home, temperatures should still be in the mid to upper 90s as they are getting off the bus tomorrow. A sizzling hot day. The heat index should be over 100 in the Triangle, Fayetteville, near 104 in Clinton tomorrow, 97 in Roxborough. And on Wednesday, even higher, 105, the heat index potentially for Raleigh and Fayetteville, 104 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 103 in Southern Pines, even 99 in Roxborough. Our jet stream pattern showing our big ridge of high pressure centered over the southeast. This has sinking air, and that's what's bringing the hot weather, but also the dry weather. We won't see that breakdown until the front arrives at the end of the week. Once we get to the end of the week, we see a drop into the 80s for highs for a few days in a row over the weekend. 88 Saturday, 86 on Sunday, right on par for normal, and 87 by next Monday. As for rain chances, I mentioned the 40% chances for rain during the day Friday and Saturday. That chance does go up to 50%, though, those nights. We'll get past the heat. You know, as we get toward the end of the month, our normal highs in the upper 70s this time of year. So we'll see how long these 90s last this month.
The cool down is coming. Thanks, Kat.
Coming up, we look back at Jimmy Buffett's many trips to the Triangle, dozens of concerts, and thousands of adoring fans.
We're going to dig into the WREL archive to remember his life and the many lives he touched here in our area.
Durham's newest high school opens for classes tomorrow. Northern High School received its occupancy permit Friday for the main building. The auditorium and athletic fields are still off limits because they're being inspected and awaiting permits. The school was slated to open when the traditional calendar school year started, but it was hit with delays from that storm that knocked out power in Durham last month.
I'm sure they're anxious to get started. With the extreme heat headed our way, Wake County cooling stations will be open tomorrow. They'll be open Wednesday and Thursday as well. Health and Human service buildings, social services buildings, and county libraries will be available for people to beat the heat.
Well, this weekend, we lost a music legend. Jimmy Buffett died after a years-long battle with a rare skin cancer. He made many visits to the Triangle, performing 26 times at Walnut Creek.
And today, we dug into the WRAL archive to look back at some of the visits to our area.
I don't know where I'm gonna go when the volcano blows.
Somebody's at home going, that's me. I can't believe they still have that video. So this is video from outside one of Buffett's many concerts at Walnut Creek. Parrot heads dressed in their Hawaiian shirts and grass skirts and flip-flops, and they were ready to sing along with the godfather of good times, as he was called.
In 2004, Gerald Owens went out among the Buffett fans at PNC tailgating the concert. More parrot heads and colorful shirts coming from all over the country.
I want to see some more video of Gerald there. He had the lay on and everything. WRAL anchor Bill Leslie once interviewed Jimmy Buffett live on air here for WRAL ahead of Buffett's July 4th concert in Raleigh, and they discussed the release of Buffett's book, A Pirate Looks at 50.
In there you say there are a lot of smart middle-aged people, but not a lot of wise ones. What did you mean by that?
Well, only my observations, Bill, but, I think what I'm trying to say is I see a lot of people because I travel the country and I travel the world a lot. And as a writer, and particularly in looking for stories, I think you have to listen more than you have to think about writing. And listening to people talk, I think that there are a lot of wise people, but a lot of people haven't quite figured out how to live and that you can have a good time as well. So I think that's, when I see that, I kind of wanted to focus on that.
He's certainly focused on a good time. A lot of people rode those waves.
Yeah, for sure. But I love that message. Just be present, enjoy, be grateful for what you've got, and have a good time.
A bit of a surprise to see Jimmy Buffett passing away.
I know,
but
really sad.
People remembering him here in our area.
Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.